Gently, he lowered Obi-Wan back to the plateau's stunted grass. Then, he staggered to his feet, and it hurt. Oh, it hurt. How much pain could a body take before it said enough? Guess I'm going to find out. He didn't want to leave Obi-Wan lying there, exposed and defenseless. But he had to. He couldn't carry him into the Sith Temple even if he'd had the strength. The criffing place would probably stop the Jedi's heart. He was starting to wonder if he had strength left to walk in there himself. It doesn't matter. I have to. And if I can't walk, I'll crawl. It occurred to him then, in a hazy, distant kind of way, that possibly he was no longer entirely sane himself. Certainly, he'd never been in a situation like this before. Never been pushed beyond the bounds of physical endurance. Never been so hungry and thirsty. Never been so tired. Never been so angry or afraid. Not even on Alinta's space station, with blaster bolts exploding at him from every conceivable direction. Is this what being in battle is like? Is this what it was like for Padme on Naboo? On Geonosis? For Obi-Wan on Christophsis? Is this what every Jedi is living through right now? Is this how the clones feel fighting the Separatists? When I voted for the army, when I voted for war, is this the life I chose for them? Because if it was... But he couldn't afford to think of that now. Couldn't afford to dwell on Byers' remorse. Time enough to deal with his choices, with the consequences of his choices, when he was back on Coruscant, in the Senate, where a senator belonged, where he could really make a difference. Though it hurt his left shoulder like fire, Bail shrugged out of the backpack and dropped it to the ground. Then he squatted and rested his right hand on Obi-Wan's shoulder. Wait here, my friend. I'm not leaving. I'm doing what we came for. I'm finding a way to get us off this rock. No answer. Empty-eyed, Obi-Wan stared at the sky. Muscles burning, bones grinding, Bail pushed to his feet. Then he turned and faced the Sith Temple, properly looking at it for the first time. Darkness. That was the overwhelming impression. Darkness and crimson. A crimson sheen within the stone. The sheen of old blood long since spilled and gloated over. Blood of the innocent. Blood of stolen lives. Working past that first oppressive impression, he saw the temple wasn't all that big. It was tall, yes. Tall enough to be seen with inexpensive electro-binoculars across a large distance, over rocky plain and straggled treetops. Large enough to be seen through the viewport of a crashing ship, buttressed with stone wings to keep it tall and strong. But though he'd called it a palace, it wasn't precisely palatial. It was oblong and windowless, and peculiarly restrained, almost self-effacing. Powerful, yet withdrawn. As though it's hiding its true face, Bail thought. And if that's not Sith, then I don't know what is. He couldn't feel a thing from it. Couldn't hear anything either. Not a single sad memory stirred. And he had them. Oh, he had them. He remained deaf, dumb, and blind to this place. Its disinterest in him continued. For which, given Obi-Wan, I must be profoundly grateful. Besides the Sith Temple, the plateau was empty. Even more barren than the plateau on which they'd crashed. No trees, no plants of any kind, save the shriveled brown grass. No sign, he realized, of a starship they could fly home. Disappointment shafted. Foolishly, he'd hoped. If there was nothing of use to them inside the temple, he and Obi-Wan were about to die lonely, painful, lingering deaths.